Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Yo, what's up? This is Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
This is Mark Ingram.
I'm Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Catello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Catello. And I will be joined alongside Rich Van Zandt shortly as the Miami Dolphins give everybody a Thanksgiving gift by losing to the Green Bay Packers 30-17 out in Lambeau Field. And kind of wasn't pretty, but we'll run down the box scores and get into it because there's a lot to unfold here. 37 for 46, 365, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Raheem Mostert was your leading rusher for a measly 5 rushes and 19 yards, so that should tell you how that day went. Jonnu Smith was your leading receiver, again, continues to shine, 10 catches, 113 yards. Tyreek Hill, 6 for 83. Again, under the C-note, one touchdown. Of note, Achan also had 8 receptions for 56 yards and a touchdown. So the running game certainly wasn't there. He did make a bit of a mark from the receiving end. And from the Packers side, Jordan Love, 21 for 28, 274, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Packers leading rusher was Josh Jacobs, 19 for 43 and a touchdown. Tucker Kraft, their leading receiver, 6 for 78. And we would be remiss to not mention Malik Washington, of course, with the opening Dolphin punt muff, which resulted in a turnover. And quite frankly, Dolphins really never recovered. So that's how you have it. And Miami Dolphins now find themselves at 5-7 as they continue on with this strange 2024 season filled with injuries, but they were on a 3-game winning streak before this. So without further ado, he has been put in a cage like a tiger since Thanksgiving, roaring on just turkey legs, and I can't hold him back anymore. I know he's got so much to say. So without further ado, Rich, you know, if I would have told you too, you're the stat guy, 37, 46, 365, two touchdowns, no interceptions, probably would have felt pretty good about that going in. But, boy, that's very deceiving, as stats can often be in this league.
It looks good on paper, but on reality, it was awful. You know, team is, you know, like the linebacker that we traded and the running back that we traded, soft. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. The team can't beat anybody good, and they stink it up when they play cold weather. I mean, there's no disputing that. I think they're 1-16 now against winning record the last 17 games.
Yeah, there's no argument with it. I mean, I know at times me and you have to be, you know, try to, there is no argument for it anymore. I mean, it's just plain and simple.
I got to say about our lovely coach, he never beats any of his peers. Like, you know, anybody he's coached with or played with or like an established coach, like really, really embarrasses him. You know,
yeah, well,
that he coached with. know? It seems like any time he goes against one of his guys, they kill him.
Yeah, well, we went over this last week, you know, so I think his record now is probably, you know, falling below. He did beat the Rams a few weeks ago, and that's probably the best one of his peers, to be honest with you. And we talked about this, and, you know, it's kind of evened out. If you talk about big coaches, I mean, he obliterated Sean Payton last year, put up 70 points. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's his peers. I just think it's, you know, higher, better teams that you know, you could kind of result it to.
We put up 70 on the Broncos, and now we're chasing them.
Yeah, we're for sure chasing them.
Right?
Absolutely, and it just goes to show you how things can change. This was the most physical game the Miami Dolphins have played, certainly this season. They were smacked. From the start to the end, and it showed a lot. It really did. And they started out strong with a big pass rush, a turnover that was not to be, and then a punt which changed the game on a muff by Malik Washington, and they never recovered from that. I mean, they just never recovered.
No.
That's a mark of a team. I mean, it certainly is a mark of a team that you know, to have adversity and to be able to, you know, basically overcome obstacles like that. And this team just doesn't seem to have that.
It didn't look like they wanted to be there in the second half. If you look at it, you know?
Yeah, it was
terrible.
No, and Tua was horrible in the first half of this game. He was just horrible. And then in the second half, he did have moments and he got it together, but it was way too late. And it was one of those games, I don't know if you felt this or not, it was one of those games where the numbers just didn't add up. And I don't know if you understand what I mean by that, and maybe you do. Sometimes you're behind by a lot, and you go through the math,
exactly.
and you feel it, like you're like, okay, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that, and we can get back into this game. This was one of those games that the numbers just didn't add up. When you kept putting things in your head and adding 2-point conversions and what might have been, you just always seemed to be shy, like you just never thought. You know, you were getting back in this game. And as the second half went, I mean, it was just a drain, you know. You were kind of just waiting for this to finish out in the way that you know it was going to finish out.
You know, when you're behind by a lot, you're always going to be passing, so the numbers are going to be better. Doesn't mean you're going to win. That happens a lot. You know, like three-quarters of that game was almost garbage time, really, if you think about it. And, you know, and when they had the chance to get back in the game, they had the ball on the one-yard line, you get a bad penalty. You get the stupidest play calling I've ever seen in my life. And I like Achane, but, again, when you got a power running back like Moser, what is he doing there on goal line? Run up the middle. No, I don't understand that. I don't get it. I think it's a huge mistake. You know, I understand the guy fumbled 2 weeks in a row. But, really, I mean, the guy led the league in rushing last year. I mean, really, you're going to give up him on two mistakes like they're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, Achane's not exactly running for 125 yards a week, you know? It's not working.
No running back's even breaking 100 yards. And I don't know what's going on with the Mostert thing. I really don't. You know, there was injured for so long out of the lineup, then out of the lineup, it seemed like he was good to go. And then he did lose his spot, but, it's just strange. I mean, he lost his spot to, I guess, if you get technical about it, he kind of lost his spot to Jalen Wright. And then, you know, now he kind of regained that back. But Achane seems to be your starting back. And the goal line situation is where Mostert shines, you know. I mean, that's his specialty. He broke the all-time Dolphin record in that area last year, so.
It really doesn't. I mean, you know, and that third down play last week was totally ridiculous. And then of course, Tua gets sacked on fourth down, and they don't snip a point. And that was the shot to get back in the game there. And I mean, it would have made it with a 2-point conversion. You're down by eight. It's a 1-score game. And
You're gonna have to fill me in a little bit more. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. Third down. I don't know. You're gonna have to fill me in a little bit more than that.
It was a terrible pass across the middle that almost got picked off. Then, you know, fourth down he got sacked. The first and second down was each hand up the middle and got nothing. You know? I remember the fourth down.
The third down, I remember a pass there that was almost intercepted, and I also remember a guy, I think, wide open, deeper, right, that he didn't hit. I mean, I think it was a guy wide open after that, but he went to the shorter route that was covered, and then the linebacker jumped the route. And I think that's the play you're talking about. I say it all the time. He was off. There's no doubt about it. But I've said it numerous times, and you know, he's terrible at looking at the non-chosen options of a play. He can go one, he can go two. After that, good luck. And it just seems like, you know, Tom Brady brought up a point. It wasn't necessarily, I've seen a thing, it wasn't necessarily towards Tua that he made this point. But the point was a lot of quarterbacks, you know, they basically have the play set up and what they're going to do, but they don't really have a plan if it's not there. And they kind of go in blind, whereas, you know, the great quarterbacks kind of have a plan if it's not there. And he certainly does not have a plan if it's not there. And the extenuation of plays.
When he's getting rushed, I've never seen a quarterback step into a sack more than this guy.
Yeah, he's just not good under pressure.
He runs into the guy. Like, he never gets away, it seems. Like, he always runs into the trouble. Like, if he steps to the other side, he's free, and he always seems to run into the guy. It's, like, really weird.
And if you...
Bad footwork, you know?
If you take that, and then you add on top of that his concussion problems and his, you know, escapability problems, it becomes a big problem. It really does, because there are times, like you said, where he just runs into the issues and he's not really schooled enough on when to take the sack. Sometimes you should take a sack, but he seems like he doesn't take the sacks when he should, and he tries to create something a lot of times, which ends up in a disaster on those plays that he should. And, you know, I can remember one play that he kind of made a play on, and that's when he rolled out to his left, and it was a few weeks ago, and he did make a nice play on it. I think it was against the Patriots, I think. And other than that, Rich, I mean, every other example is a negative. It really is. And so, you know, that's an issue, just one of many that the Dolphins are just going to have to take in stride and realize, because, you know, you've made moves and you built this thing, but it just seems like when it gets up against good teams, it is exposed. It really is. There's no other way of looking at that. Now, the exceptions are, you know, you're 5-7 in a league that has a lot of bad teams, and so, you know, you're still in the hunt, you know, and believe it or not, you're in the hunt in a better situation than you actually have been in the past. But, you know, this team has got to find its identity.
Are you confident this team's running the table?
No, I'm not confident that they're running the table at all. Believe it or not, though, I don't think they have to run the table. I think they could still lose another game depending on who it is and what goes on. But
one at the most.
One at the most. One at the most. But that's a question mark.
But here's what happens. We get in there with one loss, we're going to get murdered in the playoffs again.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you know,
this not going on any run.
No, so it's just a matter of whether or not you want to, you know, have that and extend it. But no, you're always in the same.
I don't want to see another Saturday at 1 o'clock first playoff game and us get killed. No, I don't want to see.
No,
I got to be honest with you.
That's what you'd be looking at.
You know,
that's what you would be looking at, and it just comes down to whether or not you want to go. Yeah, well. That's what happens when you squeak in and you have really, really good teams. You know, I mean, that's what happens. And for right now, those teams happen to be in the north or in the west, and they happen to be very cold. And so, you know, that's why you play Kansas City in a playoff game on Peacock in negative 20 degree weather. I mean, that's what happens.
I know.
That's basically what happens when you can't get the job done for weeks on weeks on weeks. That's basically what happens. So, you know, I don't know. They showed implements of a running game, and I always told you when you play good teams and a weather like that is where you will see if you really have a running game and if you're a physical running team. And you got your answer. You got your answer in spades. No, you don't. It's a hard sounding no. And when I give the stat line and I say your leading rusher is Raheem Mostert with 5 carries for 19 yards. I think that sums up how the day went or the night, you know. And make no excuse. Listen, we knew going in there it was going to be a tough place to play. I thought it was going to be tougher than even you did. I knew it was going to be bad weather. It could have been worse weather. We've seen much worse weather there. But you know you're getting a packed house, and you know you're getting the national Thanksgiving night game. So, you know, everybody's watching that. And, yeah, I mean, you said it last week, and it's true. Once in a while, you have to win a game you're not supposed to win. You just have to. And they're not able to do that. They're really never able to do that. And that's a big problem.
It's a big problem. We're a laughing stock. We're not taken seriously. It's a whole organization. It's a freaking disaster right now. No, it really is. It's a shame. I mean, what happened to this team over the last 20 years is just criminal. Really, this team is an embarrassment. They're soft. Let's not forget that too. They're not a tough team.
No. All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat and first and 10. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
Hi, this is Gary Apremian of the undefeated Miami Dolphins 1972 team. I always listen to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Nine twenty-nine, back to
Okay, welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Legends Show. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. We'll take you up to this Monday night football game, which I said last week and Rich just reiterated is huge as far as, I guess, the Dolphins' future playoff hopes as the Cleveland Browns go out to Denver to take on the Broncos. So we'll see how this all plays out. And so remind you, you can catch us right on iTunes. Just go right to iTunes, catch our shows, follow us, and have the latest ones delivered automatically right to your phone. You can send us questions or comments, patcatelloshow@yahoo.com as well. So we find ourselves in an uncanny situation that we are used to, but usually, Rich, it's the opposite way, right? Usually we have a huge lead and fall back to this spot, but now the Buffalo Bills convincingly have already won the AFC East. It's already won in week 12, so
they had the hats on yesterday.
Week 12. Week 12, this thing, I know. And the Kansas City Chiefs, who have won their 10th game now, they're going to clinch next week in a better division. They're most likely clinching the AFC West now, next week. So it's a strange league with really good teams. And I know you said last week your whole thing was you didn't think Buffalo was that good. Yeah, well, that's my point. And you know, we're at the – listen, there's some really bad teams, and we are in the middle of those, but there is a disparity between the top, more of a disparity in my mind between the top right now than the bottom where we sit.
I'm not going to argue with you. You know, we're definitely like in the middle, but the lower middle. No.
Yeah, I think we're closer to the bottom, guys, than we are to the top tier. You know? And it wasn't that long ago. Yeah.
We were the best. There's
still not that long ago. A year ago. Whenever we went to Germany, we were the best team in football. And you that close, you face the monster, and you know the rest is history, basically.
You know, I don't even know how to fix this mess. You know, it's not blow upable. Can't blow up the whole thing if you're not in a position to do that. And I don't know if it's fixable. I don't know if it is. It's a bizarre situation. There's a lot of talent on this team, and there's a lot of problems on this team at the same time. You're not going to be able to fix it just with the draft. Have no more cap space because you gave all these crazy contracts out. So you're not going to be a big player in the free agency. It's a weird thing. And, you know, you got to make a decision on your GM and your coaches. You know, you may lose, believe it or not, you may lose Weaver to head coaching job somewhere else. So then you're going to need another defense coordinator, and you may need another head coach.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to lose Weaver to a head coaching job. Yeah.
That's a lot of people think so.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't think you're going to lose Weaver to a head coaching job. But I think you can also look from the other side of the coin, and that's the best defense in football right now is Vic Fangio's Philadelphia Eagles. That's the best defense in football. So you know, when we're talking about Weaver, let's look at his predecessor and how that went and the amount of money that they paid Fangio for him to walk away. And Shaq Barrett also – decided he wanted to come back. Well, the Miami Dolphins basically gave him a you know what on that and said,
would you
we don't want
back
you
at this point?
No, but they also said we're not releasing you. And so you're not going anywhere, which I think was a big move.
I understand that because the next year, if he still wants to play, somebody wants him, we can get something for him. Well, I don't see a problem with that.
Why? Do we have him signed more than a year?
He kind of left us high.
I thought he signed a one-year contract. Yeah, but I think it ends.
He didn't never play this year.
Oh, are you sure about that? Because I thought it was this year. Oh, I thought it was this year, and that was the whole thing. Because the people wanted him.
Because he didn't come. No.
Because this is where everybody wanted him.
It's going into next year.
Okay, because this is why he wanted to come back. He wanted to come back to make a playoff run now, and with a different team as well. And we stopped that. Now, whether or not he's going to, I don't think he's going
to
play next year early.
If he wanted to come back next year, we have his rights. So it would be the same situation then, no?
For the entire season.
We have yes. They're saying, like, if he wants to come back in the, in the spring and go somewhere else, like somebody else was interested in him, we'd have to, trade him. No, that's all. We have his rights.
Yeah. Well, they have his rights right now when people want him.
I wouldn't have gave him. Well, you can't trade him now. The trading deadline's over.
So what you... Right, which was not an option, and I'm glad they didn't do that. So the trading deadline now has passed. You cannot make any trades at all? Or it's just that they're not active?
No, you can't make any trades at all. Trading deadline's over. You'd have to release him, and then you get nothing for him.
Yeah.
So that's why they didn't do that. Like, next year, like I said, if he decides he wants to come back, he can either play with the Dolphins or they he can request the trade, At least they can get
another,
something for him if they don't want him.
Another guy I was looking at that we both actually liked a lot, and we let go, and now is an instrumental part of the Buffalo Bill machine, is Mac Hollins. And I just watched this guy who I always loved and would fit so well in with this receiving core. And he does so much other things on the field. And they let go to the Raiders. And now here he is, as a vital part of the offense of the Buffalo Bills. Moves like that, they matter. And me and you have argued a ton on the trades and stuff. But, you look at a guy like Laramie Tunsil, who's one of the best guards in the league, whether you like it or not. He just is. And he's getting better and better. And, yeah, we got stuff for that trade, but it all becomes what did you get for that trade. And then you also have another safety in Pittsburgh that, could be a decade safety in Minka Fitzpatrick. And, I understand they got Holland, but you know what? Holland is just not the safety that we thought. He's a decent safety, but he's just not the safety that we thought he was going to be. He's really not. And with him and Poyer back there, that's a big part of the defensive problem. It really is. It exposes your corners, and it's a big part of why that defense struggles so much. The linebacking crew, secondary.
The linebacking crew is terrible, too.
It is, but that's a different aspect. And the secondary is run by your safeties. And if you have a safety, that's in charge and running, that's why Poyer's been such a disappointment, too. He's just been I expected a lot more from him coming over, And so that's an issue. So when you look at all these moves, and obviously Greer is the guy that you look to and what he's done, there's been some really good picks that injuries have killed. Okay, I didn't like the Chubb move to begin with. I know you liked it a lot more than me, but you gave this guy so much. And, he's a good player when he plays, but he's got a big injury right now, and, you're locked up to that. Jalen Phillips is a great player, and this defense is totally different when he's in the lineup. But unfortunately now you have two season-ending injuries back-to-back. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And you can see this defense plays different without him. I mean, you didn't know how he was coming back from this Achilles. So now you have a blown-out knee on top of the Achilles. You know, but the team does play different when he's in the lineup. The defense does. And he's, you know, so those are things that are bad breaks for Chris Greer and the moves that he made. But
the Fuller draft pick was terrible. The Cam Smith draft pick was terrible.
The Fuller draft pick.
Fuller was a free agent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, free agent. Right.
Okay.
Right. If you look at
was a terrible, terrible first round pick.
That whole draft, you're talking about last year's draft, not the one that just happened. So you got Cam Smith was your first pick, but he was in the second round. And then you did, yeah, I like Achane, like you said, I like him. But then, you know, Elijah Higgins, I think it was, he you don't even hear, I mean, that's non, right? And then Hayes, I think, was an offensive lineman, you know, so that draft is basically nothing. And you go one before that, and that's where your Channing Tindall comes in, and we can't even find him on our map. And then if you look at this draft,
came back from the grave, could find them.
I know. And I do like Chop Robinson. I think Chop Robinson could be a star in this league. I like him. I like him a lot. And we'll see what happens as that goes on. But you had a lot of picks, and again, there are picks that might be good if your team was ready to go, but these guys are not stepping up and taking over when the ship was going down. And so it just amplifies all that quite a bit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now,
we have coaching problems too, big time.
You got what?
It's not just the head coach. We have coaching problems. It's not just
just
head coach. It's the our assistants. I don't think are good either.
Well,
undisciplined. A lot of dumb penalties. You know.
When we talk about, let's start with the running backs, right? And you talk about the Mostert thing, right? So, like, if you look at that, okay, let's just start with that as a coaching decision, if you will, right? I'm telling you, I don't think that is necessarily a head coach Mike McDaniel thing. I think that's probably starting more from your running back coach. You know, I think it's still Eric Stoutzville. I think it probably starts there first and foremost, because that's where your decisions are coming in as far as who's going to be your starting guy going into the day, you know? And so I don't know what goes on with those guys, but each of these individual units, and I know you've pointed out a lot of times too, Wes Welker, really, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm really seeing a great impact there. I mean, he's a great receiver in his own right,
none.
But
How about none? None.
I know.
Any impact. I don't think he's a good. With the talent that he has at wide receiver, I mean, you know, Craycraft has been invisible since he's been back.
Invisible.
Do anything. They're in love with this Malik Washington, which I don't really see anything there. Do you? I mean, you know.
I mean, I see some talent. Of course,
these guys, they never do anything.
I see some talent there, but what I see is I see two spots. I see Malik Washington, who's not ready to jump into any extraordinary role right now, and I see Odell Beckham Jr., who's just been a total disappointment from the start. So when you take those two things...
I think it's time to move on. Yeah, really.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
me too. I said that last week, Rich.
It's seven catches.
Rich, I said it last week. What did I say last week? What did I say last week? If he doesn't show up, it's time to cut bait there. And I understand you cut bait and he'll wind up on a team maybe that's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. But you know what? So be it. It's time to cut bait there. The problem is you don't really have a ton of depth there. So you're going to be in trouble looking for a receiver maybe. And River Craycraft, like you said, he's healthy now. He should be a more implemented part of this game plan. And you know my disappointment with Tyreek Hill.
I know you say you don't have depth, but wait, if he didn't have him all year, would your record be any different with seven catches?
No. I'm just saying, like, I think you would have to probably get somebody else. I don't think that you could get by without having a guy there. I think you need somebody else is my point. So if you're going to get rid of him, you're going to have to bring somebody up from the practice squad, or you're going to have to go get somebody else. That's my only point with that. No, I'm not saying as far as performance-wise. No, he's been an incredible disappointment in every facet.
He's got seven more catches. Got seven more catches than us.
Yeah. He's got eight more than you.
That was a good answer.
I think that's a big part of this. And listen, I'm going to say this, and you know what? It is what it is, Rich. But you got to take the good with the bad, too. And, you know, when this all started, and this team was the best offensive team you could imagine. Best team in football, putting 70 points on the board, and had some people that I know very closely acting like middle-aged fanboys, okay? And I've never seen anything like this. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Well, let me tell you something. Mike McDaniel is the guy responsible for that. He's the guy who brought that, okay? But I said, this team is soft, they're one-dimensional, and they're going to catch up to this. And this league, when you play good teams, is going to expose that. And you said, and I hope you recall, you just don't like this team, Pat. I don't know what it is. What is it about this team? You just don't like Derek Hill. You just don't like this team. Why are you putting them down? And now you're seeing why. Because that, unfortunately, has come to fruition. And so, you know, you have to kind of give credit at least to where that came from. And I think what you need to do when you say, how do you fix this thing? You need to get that offense back. And I don't mean back to where you're putting 70 points, because you're not going to do that anymore. But you have enough talent that if you do the right things and you work with Tua, who, by the way, was basically resurrected with Mike McDaniel. Any other coach, and Tua's not your quarterback, I don't believe. So do I think that they should have signed him and did all this? You know, I have issues with that. But it is what it is, and that's the direction that you went with. So now you have to just continue to get this offense.
What's your alternative, though? If you didn't sign him, he'd be a free agent next year. You just let him walk with no quarterback?
No, you could have picked up. No, they had an option on him. You could have optioned him. You could have franchised him. There's different things you could have did to prolong that. You had a one-year option. You had one more year that you could have done that, you know? And, you know, you made the decision.
Again, what's the alternative?
Well, I just told you what the alternative was.
I mean,
no, the alternative was you could have.
What do you do after that?
Yeah. Well, I would have brought somebody else in, and I would have seen how that year went. I would have prolonged the extension. But you know what? It is what it is. Tua is your quarterback. Okay? And my problem's not with Tua if he's healthy. I can work with Tua if he's healthy. You know, my problem is that you won't have Tua. And there was no backup plan at all. That was my biggest issue. So you have him. Let's hope he stays healthy and continues on there. Okay? I think you need to, first off, somehow you need to pull this finesse team in and lay down the law in some respects. The offense is going to start with your superstars. You extended them and then extended them again, and for cherry on top, you decided to extend Tyreek Hill again. So, the attitude there has got to be different. It's got to change. And all those guys, you have to get more disciplined, because this team makes so many mistakes on its own. And you're not going to win games doing that. And Mike McDaniel has made a lot of coaching mistakes in game-day situations. He's still a very good offensive mind, and for the last couple weeks,
he makes the same mistakes
he's made
over and over again. That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah, but the last couple weeks, he's
non-existent.
He's implemented some real good plays the last few weeks that have really worked well, okay? But the game day situations, he's still having a hard time with. He's still having a hard time with getting a play in on time. So that needs to get better. And the way it gets better is by bringing in somebody to help out with the situation in game day situations. You know, and I don't – we talked a lot about the offensive coordinator, you know, in Frank Smith. So, you know, Frank Smith has got to be a part of that, I think. If that's where that's going to stay, you know, you have to get better at that. And you know why, Rich? I'm going to tell you why. The biggest reason is because you don't have a quarterback that takes charge of the situation on the field. He doesn't have that mindset. And when you don't have that, it creates problems, and you have to be on top of it all the time. That's why these veteran quarterbacks of the high level succeed so much, because they take care of that on the field.
It'd be nice. Maybe they should give Tua a little bit more control about play calling or something, because obviously they can't get the play in on time. No, I don't understand what that issue is all the time. I don't get it.
Tua's are looking at it, Rich. Tua's are looking at it. You're looking at it from the standpoint that they're not giving Tua control to do it, and I'm looking at it from the other end that he's not able to take control of doing it, because that was the number one thing Flores said with him. That was his biggest knock, is that he just didn't know the playbook. He was not sharp in situational play, and so it's one or the other. If it's what you're saying, then you're absolutely right. Then you have to start giving him control and see what happens. I think it's a little bit more the other way, but we'll see.
I'm not
Let's take a quick break.
Says, I'm sorry. Right. Oh, I'm not going right. with anything that jackass says. Sorry.
All right. Hang on that thought. We'll be right back.
The ball is on the Charger. 46 seconds remain on the halftime clock. 24-10 Chargers. He's straight back to throw. Gets a rush. Steps up. Throws it downfield. It is complete. The lateral back at the 20, the 10, the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown. The pass went to Harris, who lateraled back to Nathan for the touchdown.
Hello, this is Don Strachan. You're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Legends Show. Come to the final stretch here, and we'll bring up this Monday night football game, Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos, which we have said has playoff ramifications, obviously, for the Miami Dolphins as they continue to fight for that spot. And you have to look at it, I guess, from the standpoint that if you want to turn this thing around, Rich, you got to get you got to continue to get better and win. They were on a three-game winning streak before this, so you got to get back into that lane if you're looking to fix this thing. And I think you're right. It's not a blow-up kind of thing. So you got to make some changes, but you have to continue progress. I don't think it's a blow-up type of thing. I really don't. Not when you just sign your quarterback to that kind of thing, extend your head coach, have high-paid wide receivers and star players, it makes things a lot harder to blow up. You know what I mean?
Oh, I would think that Greer's gone. No. You know me, I would fire McDaniel too, but I don't think that's happening. No, I think give him next year. But, to me, Greer has to be gone.
Yeah, I think you may see that. I think there's definitely going to be a lot of heat on that. But, you know, there's also this other aspect to it that he's not basically making the decisions. Rich, hold on. You got to basically look at it from there's not basically him just making these decisions. And that always factors in because I think that Ross and Garfunkel are making a lot of decisions that are trickling down, especially with those extensions. So if that's the case, 100%. Greer may not be on the hot seat as much as you think.
And I'll tell you, one of the other problems is, I don't know who runs our scouting department, but whoever is like evaluating the college talent has to go. I mean, our scouts are terrible. Terrible. And there's too many misses in these draft picks. You look at
there's a lot of
organizations in this league. We have some bug drafts. I mean, really bad. But there's guys you look back 2 years and you never even heard of these guys.
Really
bad news.
I would tend to argue, though, if you look at every one of these teams, not everyone, but most of these successful teams, I would argue that their success lies in who they picked for their quarterback more so than all their other picks.
A lot of it has to do with that.
Yeah, and I think you could take all these.
When you get a major injury, forget about quarterback injuries. Like, look at the Bills. They lost Milano. They changed the receivers. Right? They lost, like, four guys on defense. And
yes.
Okay? We lose one guy, and we look like we never played before. No?
Yeah. But again. Who's their quarterback?
Is horrible.
It's not that it's horrible.
I just think
when you have the right guy behind center, it enables your ship to continue moving while these injuries happen. And yeah, I'm not saying that our drafts have been great. They haven't. And there's a lot of mispicks. There's a lot. I can name 10 mispicks in the last 3 years or 4 years. You know, big time. But I think I could do that on a lot of these teams that people say are really good, too. So you have to look at that, and then the areas that maybe you can make up for it is coaching, right? Because the teams that maybe didn't have that.
And, you know, letting the wrong people walk, too.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, listen, I look at Phillips, right? I'm watching him in Buffalo, too. And he's like a major impact over there. Major impact. And so how many ex-Dolphins do we see around this league that have major impacts on really good teams? You know, we've talked about the Van Ginkel thing, Pun. That's a huge thing. I don't think Gesicki is great, but I don't think you replaced him. So I think you should have kept him. Because he would have helped this team.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm just going off the top of my head with guys that we've lost. You know, I don't fault them for not signing Christian Wilkins. But...
No, that was, I didn't even mind that. And he's been hurt all year, and it's too much to pay a nose tackle. It really is. You can't do that.
I agree.
But here's the other problem. They still have the love affair with this Hill. It's unbelievable.
I don't know what that's about. I really don't. I don't know what that's about. It's a strange thing. And
so
you have to make better free agent.
Like, you know, that's what it reminds me of. You know it's a glaring problem, and the guy is like the starter. It makes no
sense. I think you have to make better free agent moves as much as you have to draft picks. I really do. I think the free agent moves are
I think that's glaring. The problem because of the salary cap with all these contracts.
Well,
no.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and you know how I feel about that. I mean, I think it comes down to a lot of these high-paid guys that didn't necessarily need to be paid, but I think the extensions were maybe from a higher source. So, I don't know. It can be deflating. They play the Jets next week. They have to get back on course. You have to get back on course and start playing well again and, you know, see what you can do right and add to that. I think that's basically what's going to need to be done. You know, I couple of things around the league as we come to the end here. First off, this is the anniversary of the Marino Amazing 85 Bears Monday night game 39 years ago. I thought of that.
Wow.
It's yeah.
39 years ago?
Oh my God. Right. 20, yeah, yeah.
That's
insane. Isn't that crazy? And then
I went to the next one that I came 2 weeks later. I was down there for the Patriot game.
39 years. That's crazy. It really is. Going around the league.
20 years old.
Bears also fire Matt Eberflus. We were talking about that. That was just a ridiculous end of a game. And then to go and defend it. I think that's what got him fired. You can't defend it after that.
When he says there was no problem with the clock management. Well, I guess there was because you were fired 8 hours after you made that comment.
Yeah. I mean, to double down on that and defend it is insane. So there's that. Christian McCaffrey comes back and looks like now he's going to be out for the year, at least 6 weeks. It hurts his knee again. So, you know, it's the same kind of things with him.
I mean, they're not making a playoff, so he's not coming back. Yeah.
Same thing with him. You thought maybe he got over that hump, but, it's the same thing. He's so good when he can play, but the injuries just keep coming and coming and coming. I mean, it's basically, you thought last year when he came late that maybe he had kind of gotten over that a little bit, but this year completely says the opposite. So, another major injury to him.
Lawrence.
And then Trevor Lawrence gets hit by Azeez Al-Shaair. Now, they say a suspension's coming from that. He apologized today, said Lawrence slid too late. And I watched it another bunch of times, and it was a show. I don't know how you feel about it. It seems like everybody is – up in arms. I'm assuming you are too. It was more of a shoulder hit than head to head. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys fake slide,
and he's got a history of that too. You know,
does he? What's the history? He's done it before a bunch. So that factors in.
Hit like that last year.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to get suspended again. I think you're looking at a game or two suspension coming from this one as well.
I got to be honest with
you.
Yeah. No, he should be out for the year.
Yeah, he might be. I'm just guessing.
That's
he might be, Rich. I don't know. You thought it was that bad? You thought it was that bad? I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
I mean, I don't know who hit Joe Flacco when Joe Flacco asked for the check. I don't know who hit him then.
Yeah.
But,
Lawrence's fingers curled. Do you see that?
Yeah, a little bit. It wasn't as bad as our guy, but yeah, a little bit.
Oh,
and
and they said he's got a neck injury too.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
No, so yeah, I know
they don't.
Be out for the year. I think he should be.
They don't like you. Yeah, they don't like that.
Afterwards was ridiculous too.
Let me just say, you have to ban a fake slide. And there's a lot of guys that go to the sideline, and then at the last second, they try to get and they get a couple more yards. You have to do something about that, or this stuff is going to continue to happen because, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You certainly can't have fake slides, you know, not that Trevor Lawrence was going to do that, but I'm just saying, I think you have to crack down on that a little bit.
He gave himself up.
No, I didn't say he was doing that.
More than enough time for him to not to do what in there. You know what I mean?
You
know, that was terrible. The way I would say the way he acted after the incident was almost worse.
How did he act?
Fighting with everybody and you didn't see that?
Just the fight. I've seen the fight.
Brawl. And they had
He
tried to drag him off the field and he kept running back in to start more trouble. And then the fans.
Well, he was attacked after he.
The police had to like drag him away.
Well, after he did it, he was attacked, and then the guy who attacked him also got thrown out of the game.
But then after that, he tried to run back into the fray. After that, I guess it was worse being done, and he had to be dragged off by his own teammates. He was acting like an idiot.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, you can't do that either. No.
No, and. You wonder how long this prolongs now, and Doug Peterson still has a job, so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Because they've been firing a lot of guys during the year.
I don't think he makes it through the year. There's going to be a lot of coaches fired this year.
There already are.
Getting back to the Bears guy, you know, it was the first time in 150 years, how many years the Bears been in existence, that's the first time they ever fired a guy during the season. He's got that goal.
Yeah, is that right? Well, the Bears are a notoriously frugal organization, and so that was a surprise in itself, you know, because they don't usually do that. They don't usually do that at all. So to have that, you know, during the year, it does speak volumes. There's been a lot of firings now this year already, and a lot of these coaches are teams that, you know, you wonder. I don't know. They're not great teams, but there has been openings. But we'll see what happens, my friend. Let's just beat the Jets. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's beat the Jets. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own war. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. Twelve hours out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided. Out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.